You're listening to episode 205 of Women Worldwide. How do you get from lawyer to actor to entrepreneur and podcaster? Well, I've got a guest who's an expert in wanderlust. So stay tuned to learn more.
Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Today, we're adding to our list of amazing guests who have really interesting stories to share and lots of advice to offer you personally and professionally. But first, a big thank you to all of you for tuning in, for amplifying the show, you're sharing, you're giving us your feedback. It's so interesting to know that our audience is made up of a lot of women, but there's men too, which, you know what? I think is wonderful because we're in this together. So thank you. And we're also getting closer to our 2 million download benchmark. So we're getting there. All right. Let's get right to today's guest and his journey. So I have to ask you, do you know anyone who has moved from lawyer to actor to entrepreneur, speaker, and podcaster? We have a guest today on the show, and I'm going to call him, and I've seen this written about him, an expert in career wanderlust. And that's going to take, it's got to take a lot of getting out of your comfort zone, passion, purpose, and gut instinct. So joining me on the show is John Lim. He is all of the things that I just said. Now, some of you may have seen John when he was acting. He was a part of an online series called Star Trek New Voyages. And for all of you Trekkies, John played Commander Sulu. So I think that's really cool. And today, of course, John is an entrepreneur. He's a lifelong learner. He has his JD and he's got his MBA. He's a speaker. He's done his TEDx talk, but he's also a podcaster. And his podcast, Moving Forward, has reached audiences in over 50 countries. He's passed his 200th episode, which is so cool. And I also have to mention that he is one of the nicest people that I've ever met on Twitter, no less. So I could go on and on about John, but I think it's better he shares his story with you. John, it is so great to have you on my show. Oh, welcome.
Thank you. And I have to say, you and I are practically twins because we had our 200th episodes. I think they aired within 1 or 2 days of each other. So congratulations to you. I know that's a huge milestone to hit.
Thank you. And congratulations to you. You're in your 6th season. I saw that on LinkedIn just today.
Yes.
So that is no small accomplishment. It's amazing. And I so admire how much you offer and engage with people. And I want to dive right into your story because you really, if anybody wants to be an expert in career wanderlust,
yes, then they, yeah, call me. And that really does sum up who I am. And I'm, to your question, I mean, going from attorney to actor to entrepreneur to podcaster, really, and here's the thing, Deirdre, I don't say become a expert in career wanderlust. It's more a reflection of my own journey. And it's not necessarily a path I would advise. And I don't want to make it sound like it's a glamorous thing. If anything, it's just a very real description of who I am and just constantly challenging myself, trying to figure out, okay, this is my calling, this is my passion. So it's not something that I necessarily say in a boastful way. It's just more of a description of, if I had to give my elevator pitch as to what my journey has been, I would say I'm an expert in career wanderlust.
Yeah, you certainly are. And, you know, I've heard of attorneys who go into business, mm-hmm. and there are attorneys who become professors. But to choose the acting route, what was it about acting that sort of took you down that path?
Oh, that's a great question. It actually started in college. I was preparing to apply for law school. I was my junior year, sophomore or junior year, and I read a book about preparing for law school, preparing to take the LSAT, which is the exam that all college students have to take to apply to law school. And one of the chapters talked about, if you plan on becoming a trial lawyer or a litigator, and that's what I thought I wanted to be at the time, that it's a good idea to really develop your public speaking skills. And they listed a bunch of suggestions. One was take a speech course, do a Toastmasters, or take an acting class. And I thought, out of all of those, acting sounded like it would be the most fun. So I actually took a summer class. I decided to take it at the University of Virginia, because one of the things that I did during college was I took a lot of summer courses, and I used that as an opportunity to explore opportunities at different campuses, because I loved just – that was kind of me in my college years, was I loved experiencing different scenery. I loved different universities. So I did a study abroad at Oxford, but University of Virginia had a great drama department, and I know they have a beautiful campus. So I actually enrolled in a summer program there and took an acting class after my sophomore year, and I fell in love with it. I really enjoyed it. I worked with a great professor, Adam Zoller. He's now a theater director up in Boston. And I really, really enjoyed it. In fact, so much so that it gave me a little bit of pause as to whether or not maybe I should explore this a little more. But then the practical side of me, or at least what I thought was the practical side of me, said, you know what, stay the course, apply to law school. And I did. I went to law school, largely enjoyed my experience, took the bar exam. And then when I got out to practice, I was a young attorney. I was 25 years old. So I went straight from college to law school to the bar exam. And I will be the first to admit, when I graduated law school, I really didn't have the maturity, the experience, the wisdom to make the right choice for my post-law school career. I graduated at a time where I had tons of offers from all of these prestigious firms, and I made the wrong decision. I will admit I made the wrong decision. I picked the wrong place to go to, and I was not happy. I was not happy as an attorney. I had what I call a quarter life crisis, and then I was there at the firm for about a year and some change, and decided, you know what, I need to make a change. I have a low threshold tolerance for misery, as I like to say. Yes. And I know that, you know, it was a struggle, because you spend so much time, effort, and education pursuing something that you think you want. And then you have this challenge. Do I stick with it because I invested so much time or energy? Or do I make a break? Do I try something else? And it's really, really a big struggle. I know so many people who've gone through that, especially lawyers. Lawyers tend to experience this quite a bit, especially young attorneys. And I've talked with and I've worked with a lot of law students in my past careers. A lot of times they go to law school for the wrong reasons. And a lot of times it's unfortunate that law school is sometimes seen as a default when you can't figure out what you want to do. For me, I thought I wanted to be an attorney, and I really thought this is what I wanted to do. So it was even more crushing for me to realize this was not a good fit for me. And so I left. I left the practice and went to work for a Fortune 500 company. And I shifted. I actually went more into education consulting. And I was working with actual law schools, which I actually really enjoyed. I was giving seminars, and I developed more of my presentation and presentation skills. And it was during it was during a retreat where they brought in an acting coach from Harvard to actually help us develop our presentation skills. And she actually called me on stage to do one of the exercises. And then afterwards, she said, you know what, John, I think I recognize you've had some acting training. You may want to think about getting back into it. And I hadn't thought about it at the time. And so I actually started looking into taking acting classes, and I'm in the DC area. So I looked at schools in the DC area. I took an acting class at the Theater Lab, really enjoyed it. And from there, I was recommended to a acting teacher who teaches on-camera training. And I hadn't even thought about acting on camera or anything like that. And Brenna McDonough, she is an actress who works in film and TV in this area. She's been in a lot of TV shows and movies. And she, I worked with her, and that was my immersion into the world of video. And she would teach the class this way, Deirdre. She would actually have us recite copy or scripts right in front of a camera. So the camera was literally pointed right at our faces, and she would have all of us watch it in playback. And that really stretched me out of my comfort zone, just being on camera regularly and having it played back with the entire class. And then she and her husband, who's also an acting teacher, encouraged me to maybe think about trying acting out. And they actually connected me with some casting directors in the area. And before I knew it, I was actually getting called for auditions. And surprisingly, I started booking roles for things like National Geographic, the History Channel. I did a commercial or two. It was crazy. And I was doing this kind of while balancing my day job. And then I was actually going through a failed romance, and I was nursing kind of a broken heart over one weekend, and it was at the time I just gotten broadband or high speed internet, and over that weekend I just like marveling. This was like 2004. I was marveling at the wonders of high speed internet, and then I found, just because I'd grown up as a Star Trek fan and a Star Wars fan, I found what were called this genre of independent films called fan films, where budding filmmakers and people who are just fans of these shows were creating their own content. And I was just blown away by the creativity, the artistry, and just the fact that people were utilizing film technology, video technology, which has become so much more accessible, and using it to tell their own stories. And I found this production that filmed in New York called Star Trek New Voyages, which you mentioned in the intro. And I watched their first episode and I was blown away. I mean, they took it to a next step by recreating the sets and the costumes of the 1960s television show right down to a T. I mean, it looked like a lost episode of Star Trek. And the one thing I noticed was that they didn't have the Sulu character in their first episode. And I wasn't sure, you know, if this was an oversight or whatever. They had like a line in the episode where they explained he was away on a mission. And so I contacted them. I said, hey, if you're looking for someone to cast as Sulu in your next episode, I would love to audition. And I traded emails with several people in the production. And then I got called to visit upstate New York, and the creator of Star Trek New Voyages, who actually built the sets and the costumes, and went up there and actually met him for the role, and I got cast in the role, which was crazy. And so from 2005 to 2006, I acted in two of the episodes. And what was incredible is that I joined at a time where actual Hollywood producers, directors, and people who worked on the real Star Trek series actually got involved in this project. And so it grew into something much bigger. And I got to act in two of the episodes, which guest starred original actors from the original series, including the second one where I actually played Sulu opposite George Takei, who originated the role. And in the episode, there's an accident that causes me to age to him, which was just mind-blowing to get to get that experience. And that actually catapulted me to actually pursuing acting for a while. I moved out to Los Angeles, landed an agent. I actually got to audition. I was invited to audition for the J.J. Abrams film for the same role, which was just really mind-blowing. And then this phenomenon, I mean, this thing on the internet really caught fire. And it was featured on all of these news programs from CNN to the Today Show. And it was just, it was kind of a crazy thing. And then my acting journey really kind of was peaked at that point. And it was in 2006, 2007. You know, I was living in LA. I was still auditioning. I didn't get the Star Trek role, but I was regularly auditioning and still, you know, trying to make it as an actor. But then I had a real kind of life changing event that occurred in 2008. It was June of 2008. I got a call from my dad, and you know, he said, you know, John, your mom is in the hospital, and I think you better come home. So I was on the next flight out, and I flew right back to Baltimore, which is where I grew up. And my mom was in the hospital, and she had a heart attack. And we spent 2 weeks in the hospital, and you know, she was a fighter. She was doing everything she could to make it. And then, unfortunately, you know, we lost her in 2008. It was just four days after her birthday. And it was just, it was one of the most crushing, heartbreaking events. And I still think about her every day. And it's hard to believe it's been over 10 years, but every day I think about her, every, you know, almost every once an hour at least, if not more. And I was deciding, what do I want to do? I was really just flattened. I was absolutely flattened. I was heartbroken. I went back to LA, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And so I decided, you know, my heart isn't in acting anymore. It was one of those things that I think I got out of my system. And I decided, I actually resigned from my job, moved back to the East Coast. And pretty soon after, I got hired by a small company that ended up being acquired by the company I used to work for. And so I ended up back at the same company that I had just left, which is crazy. Yeah. So I was doing consulting. I worked with, instead of universities, I worked with government agencies, and I was doing a lot of traveling. And at the time, it was probably just what I needed, because being on the road, being on planes, trains, and automobiles, as it were, helped me kind of, you know, I don't know, move through, not necessarily forget about what happened, but really just try to deal with life post mom, which was, you know, which was a really, really tough thing. And then, as I was working, I was back working in the corporate world, and I, you know, I enjoyed it. I will say I had largely a positive experience, but at some point, I decided, because I'm doing more business development, because I'm doing more working with clients and negotiating contracts and sales, it was time for me, I thought, to go back to school. And one of the things I actually talked about and had toyed around with was the idea of going back to get my MBA. And so, and in fact, it was one of the last conversations I had with my mom was, I'm thinking about maybe going back to school at some point to get my MBA. And so, of course, that was also on my mind. And I decided to go back, and I went back to school in 2011, part-time to get my MBA while I was working. And it was during that experience that I met some really great professors, many of whom were entrepreneurs. And that's when I started thinking about, what do I want to do post-MBA? Do I want to stay with the company and go into the corporate track and climb up the ladder? Or do I want to become an entrepreneur? And that's when I decided in 2014, after I finished the MBA, I'm going to take the leap. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And as you've mentioned, I've done so many things. And launching a podcast was all part of that journey from 2014 into 2015 and continuing to today.
Well, what, first of all, an amazing journey. And you certainly are a lifelong learner in the sense that, you know, you push yourself in so many ways to step outside of your comfort zone. It's wonderful that, you know, you did pursue that MBA, especially because you talked about it with your mom, and you know, I'm so sorry to hear about her passing. And even if it's 10 years later or 20 years later, I can definitely relate to not a day will go by without thinking about somebody who is so special. You're also so reflective. And there's something about your character, John, which I think is refreshing, and where listeners who hear your story can step back and feel like, you know, there is a path I can go down, and it serves a purpose, and there's passion. But if it doesn't work out, I can pivot. You know, going back to that 1 year as an attorney and making that decision to move away was, you know, that was a pivotal moment, because I know a lot of attorneys who, you know, associates who stay in that law firm and they pay their dues because they think it's going to get better and better, and it gets worse and worse. So there's a lot of pieces to your journey that is just so fascinating. Now that you know, really quickly before the break, now that you've made that leap to entrepreneur, what do you think is the biggest benefit of being an entrepreneur?
Well, for me, you know, more so than the title entrepreneur, it's the lifelong learner. And for me, being an entrepreneur has forced me to continue my education post any degree that I have or any degrees. I graduated from business school in December of 2013. But becoming an entrepreneur has forced me to, or encouraged me more, to keep learning every day. And especially having launched a podcast, it's the way I'm able to continue to learn to develop skills. I really didn't know much about social media. And because of the podcast, because of becoming an entrepreneur, it has really encouraged me to connect with amazing people like you on platforms like Twitter, which honestly, I've only been on Twitter for a couple of years. And I make more out of my presence on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. And so I really feel like becoming an entrepreneur, it inevitably, you're going to develop and push yourself out of your comfort zone and develop skills in areas that maybe you've been thinking about, but haven't really taken the steps to do so. And working in the corporate world, I mean, I got into a comfort zone where a lot of what I was doing, I could do on autopilot. And for me, that was also another signal that maybe it was time for me to challenge myself and move on to the next thing.
That's right. So hear this, listeners, when you feel like you're on autopilot, that's a time to be reflective and to say, is this really what I want to do? And maybe there's more. Step out of your comfort zone. John, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor, Pure Performance Communications. And when we get back, we're going to pick up the conversation about John, his career journey, and we're going to talk about his podcast moving forward.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing and PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
Welcome back to the show. I've been chatting with John Lim, who is an entrepreneur, lifelong learner, speaker, and podcaster. John, let's dive right back into our discussion. So I mentioned before the break, and we've been talking about your podcast moving forward. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast and how you dove into podcasting.
Absolutely. It's a funny story. It was November 2014. I was at my ex-girlfriend's apartment's gym. And I'm the type of person, when I work out, I need to listen to audio content. If I'm going to be a hamster on a treadmill, I need something to keep me motivated. And I'm normally an NPR junkie. And it's one of my go-to apps. Yeah. And I love NPR. And in fact, I'll tell this story, because that particular day, I could not get a signal on the app. And I kept trying and continued, just didn't work. And I was desperately trying to find something. And so I was thinking about maybe listening to some music, but then I saw that little funky podcast icon, you know, the one on the Apple. It looks like the stick figure without arms. And I clicked on it. I'd never clicked on it before. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I can find something in here. And I looked and I saw all of these different podcasts in so many different areas. And I had just recently read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I saw that he had a radio show. So I started listening to it and it was fantastic. And I thought, whoa, this is really great stuff. And I had just finished business school and I had just become, started my entrepreneurial journey. And I was really, really looking for some inspirational content, but also content that I could learn from. And this was ideal for me. And then from there, I started exploring other podcasts like Entrepreneur on Fire and just listening to podcasts. And I really became immersed in it. And it was about a week or two into listening, binge listening to so many podcasts that I thought to myself, you know what? This might be a fun thing to do. I've, as you mentioned, I've had so many different weird career experiences and I've developed relationships with people in law, business, as well as the entertainment industry. I would love to speak to some of these people and share a little bit about what motivates them, what challenges they faced. And so I spent about several weeks just trying to teach myself how to podcast. And back in 2014-15, that was not such an easy thing to do. I was reading blogs. I was watching YouTube tutorials. I must have had about 50 tabs opened. I was attending webinars and all kinds of things. And I kind of figured it out on the fly. Really, I did not know what I was doing. I decided to record... Yeah, seriously, I recorded a couple of episodes and I must have hovered over the publish button for about 30 minutes before I actually hit publish. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea whether or not I would even last 10 episodes. And those first episodes were pretty raw. I mean, the guests were fantastic, but I was definitely not an interviewer at the time. But I stuck with it and it's just been amazing. It was one of those things where I thought to myself, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying having conversations and people are opening up about so many different things. And it was at some point, I would say around 20 to 30 episodes in, that I ran out of people on my Rolodex, so to speak, or on my phone. And I had to really get out of my comfort zone again and start thinking about reaching out to people that maybe I wanted to interview on the show. And it was because of the podcast that I started engaging more on social media, developing relationships, developing connections, following people and learning from them. And I started reaching out. My first guest that I reached out to who I didn't know was Jen Grisanti. She's amazing. She was an executive at CBS and was laid off from her job and is now really one of the most in-demand storytelling and script writing coaches today. And I reached out to her on Facebook and I asked her, I would be honored to have you on my podcast, not knowing, I mean, I expected her to say no, but she gave me such a gracious yes. We had such a great conversation and we developed a great friendship from that. And I mean, really, it was the relationship building that kept me going. And honestly, I never imagined I would last 10 episodes, much less 100, much less 200. And in fact, it's great that I'm speaking to you today because at last year, I was starting to feel, not necessarily in a routine, but I was starting to feel like, well, maybe it's time to close this chapter, move on. And I was thinking about ending at episode 200, making that kind of my swan song. And because I've got other things that I'm moving on to, but I talked to so many business colleagues, friends, and guests who actually encouraged me to continue doing the podcast. And I thought about it long and hard. Actually, I thought about it way back when I had episode 150, which kicked off season, five. And I thought, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to retool the podcast. So I'm doing something completely different this season. And it's not something I'm very comfortable with. I'm much more comfortable having conversations. I'm doing more of a solo podcast. It's an intimate podcast where I'm sharing things that I'm working on. And this month, and it'll probably go into next month, I'm actually sharing kind of a project that I've been working on with my dad, which is to help him take his retail business online. And it's something I've been working with him on for 2 years. And there have been a lot of challenges with that. And we finally found a groove that really works well. And I'm going to break down those steps and projects that I've been working on. I want to start documenting those and sharing kind of the challenges, the pitfalls, as well as some best practices to avoid some of the missteps or mistakes or save time. And so I'm going for a much different format this year, and we'll see how it goes. So far, I just recorded my first episode yesterday and aired it today, and it really felt like launching episode one because it's such a different show now to do, and it's getting out of my comfort zone again.
That's so interesting, and yeah, and once again, you're stepping out of your comfort zone, but it's because it's really hard to share about yourself sometimes. It's a lot easier when you're sitting as the interviewer and you're not having the hot seat or having to explain.
I mean, that has challenges too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I absolutely every guest, I mean, yourself included, I was honored to have you on the show at last year. You were one of the highlights of last year. And in fact, I want to close back on that story from 2014 when I first listened to podcasts. Remember, I was trying to get in a signal on NPR. Yeah. And the funny thing is, because of the podcast, I got invited to give my first TEDx talk, which I gave in February. And I shared the stage with Jack Spear from NPR.
Oh, cool.
And we connected afterwards. And I actually had him on the show for episode 184. So I really came full circle. Because I couldn't get onto NPR, I discovered podcasts, but because of podcasts, I got to share the stage with Jack Spear and then able to get him on the show, which was just a mind-blowing experience. I never imagined that I would ever get to speak on air with him.
Oh my goodness. All the pieces just seem to connect so perfectly.
Yeah. And that was really one of the considerations that I had. I need to continue doing this. And at the same time, I'm actually, and I can share this now, is that I'm launching a second podcast. I'm working on my first book. I'm co-writing it with, my good friend, Andy Bray, who was a fellow actor on Star Trek New Voyages. And, we've decided to write the book on the experience, and we're in the umpteenth redraft with our editor, and in order to get ready for the launch of the book, we're actually launching a podcast series based off of the book and based off of our experiences and also writing this book. So I'm actually going to be doing two podcasts this year.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
You have so much passion and energy. Needs to be bottled.
Bottle
it and share it.
But you know, it comes from, I have to say though, it comes from just putting myself in spots where I'm not always comfortable and trying different things. Yes. And also, you know, it's the adult's version of learning to ride a bike. You're going to skin your knee. You're going to make mistakes. And it's from those experiences that I think you really do grow. It's not fun to have failures and setbacks. I don't want to glamorize that. It hurts. It stinks.
Oh, yeah.
But it's because of that then I've been able to grow and do and try the things that I'm doing now. And, you know, I'm still learning every single day.
So as you look back, John, maybe you could share, and you've had a lot of success, but what do you think is your greatest success? And then maybe what is that learning experience or failure or huge challenge, if you would also share that as well?
Absolutely. You know, in terms of success, it's an interesting question because I measure success very simply. And for me, success is about family and health. And I've got, even though I lost my mom, I've got a great relationship with my dad. In fact, you know, we weren't always as close. I was much closer to my mom growing up. But since her passing, he and I have become so much closer. And because, you know, he's an entrepreneur, I think I understand him far more than I did growing up.
Sure.
And so for me, having a great relationship with him, and I do work with him about once a week, and it's really been, for me, that's the most valuable thing, is to have that relationship with him. The people who come into my life, I mean, I believe I measure my success based on the relationships I have with amazing people such as yourself, the people that I went to school with, people from even from my past careers. For me, that's success. It's having those relationships, the people in my life who I learn from, who I can support, who support me. And, you know, I have that. I have my health. I mean, those are things that I really think you can't put a price tag on. So I consider that success. In terms of just business success, I mean, I've been able to be on my own since 2014, able to pay the bills, able to, you know, maintain, you know, every day. And I mean, I consider that success.
No, those are all measures of success. I really like the family and health, because I'm learning as I get older and wiser, family and health number one, and also with their relationships. There's something about being able to measure that every single day at the end of the day. So.
Absolutely. I think it's really important. It's also, the flip side to that is also recognizing when certain relationships, even people that you've known for a long time, are no longer really beneficial. And when you become an entrepreneur, your outlook on a lot of things change. And I think it's also important, as much as we audit our businesses, audit our bank statements and liabilities and assets, you have to audit your relationships. And sometimes relationships have an end point as well. Sometimes you realize, you know what, maybe this person is not the most positive influence. And that's something that I think is important. It's not easy to do, but sometimes you have to let go of relationships that are not really beneficial or that are not positive. And so that's something that I've learned over the last couple of years as well.
Exactly. And not everybody can be in your tightest inner circle.
No, absolutely. In fact, I think when you become an entrepreneur, you really discover who the people in your inner circle are. Because becoming an entrepreneur is not, I think it's becoming more common these days. But from the world that I came from, it's not something that is, it's foreign to a lot of people. Most of my friends are very much in the corporate world. We're in the legal world. Even when I became an actor, it was such a left turn that I quickly discovered who are the people who, at least if they don't understand, at least can be supportive in the fact that I'm trying something different, as opposed to people who are just negative and, you know, and maybe not intentionally so. But I think when you try something different, you will see it as a lens to see who really are the people in your life who are supportive, even if they don't understand why you're doing a certain thing.
Exactly. And as far as challenges, it's kind of a, I don't know if this is a hard question or not, but do you have similar challenges that you had early on as the lawyer and, you know, then you did the acting? Are they the same as what you face today as an entrepreneur or your
challenge? Oh, no, absolutely not. I'd say, I mean, for me, practicing law, I wasn't happy in it. I really wasn't. So in that sense, I could see that as a failure. But for me, I look back on that as I learned this is not what I want to do.
Right.
Working in the corporate world, I got to a point where I could do my job on autopilot. I wasn't being challenged. And I think when you are in a position where you're so comfortable, you resist trying something new that could lead to failure or getting you out of your comfort zone. As an entrepreneur, I have failures almost every week. I mean, there's certain things that I think it just comes with it. I have tried so many different things for every success, and we've talked about some of them. For every success I've had, I must have had at least 10 to 20 failures. And it just comes with the territory. And it's not something that people are always comfortable talking about, but I think it's really important to have that perspective that if you do become an entrepreneur, it is not just, and you know, social media is a great thing. I think you find a lot of inspiration, but it can also be a little misleading in that sometimes what you see on social media is not the complete picture. You know, when you follow people and you see, oh, they're having so much success, they're living this great lifestyle. Sometimes you don't see the blood, sweat, and tears right. and the failures that come towards getting that. I've done so many different things where that have completely flopped. And
me too.
We could do a whole episode on that, but I've had so many different failures in so many different areas. But I'm still alive. I'm still happy. I'm still smiling. I still have my health and my relationships. And the fact that I'm able to look back on those and really take away, okay, this is what I learned from that experience. Here's how I'm going to do things differently, or here's how I've learned that maybe this was not the right path or the right decision. But again, that's the only way you learn and grow. And it's a different experience when you're working for someone else than when you're making your own decisions. And it's stressful because, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's your livelihood. But I think it is important. You have to have what one of my business professors called, you have to have that tolerance for ambiguity, but also that tolerance for knowing that not everything you try is going to work out. And I mean, the one thing that I try to do is if something is going to fail, I rather learn sooner than later. Exactly. And so that's kind of the big takeaway from that. And I've had many. I'm happy to share any specific examples, but I've launched products on Amazon that have flopped. I've, had nightmare clients working as a consultant. I mean, I've done so many different things, and each one I've learned and had setbacks and challenges that the biggest failure I probably had last year, I mean, reflecting on 2018 was, and this is one that really took a lot of reflection, is that I'm the type of person who likes to say yes, and I have a hard time saying no. And I probably said yes to too many things, and it detracted from me from focusing on my priorities. And so that's something that I'm really working on for this year, is to be more, to be able to say no more, because I want my yeses to be meaningful and with full heart and mind. So that's something that I've been working on.
Well, it is so hard for so many people, entrepreneurs and business professionals, learning that powerful word, no.
Yeah.
When you can learn it, and it, you know, took me almost half my life to learn it. Yeah, it took,
and that's something I have to work on every single day.
Because that yes, like you said, is much more meaningful. And when you can say yes to something, you're present, and you find so much more benefit from the yeses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, the corollary to that is know your worth too.
Right.
I'm a big believer. I like to share as much as I can, and I do so on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn. I share as much knowledge as I can, but I'm much more selective now when someone says, you know, I'd like to pick your brain for 15 to 20 minutes. I'm much more picky about that now, because, you know, that's time that, and what I have found, I don't know if you found this, but sometimes when I give the 15 or 20 minutes of pro bono advice, I'll hear on the other end, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. But then I don't see the person actually following through and taking action, because I don't know what it is, the psychology of, you know, this was just free time that they got and they're not utilizing that. So I'm much more disciplined about saying no, or we're charging for my time, which, you know, I know it's not always comfortable to talk about pricing and money, but if people are asking for your advice, there's value in that, and you've got to value your time. Otherwise, who is going to if you don't?
Exactly. You can't expect anybody to say, okay, stop talking now, stop sharing, stop giving your advice. You have to be the one to know when it's going to be the pro bono. And when you reach that threshold of, okay, now this is actually a part of my consulting, this is what I do as an entrepreneur,
right,
this is where I can really help you if we move into a business relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John, I would love for you to round out this show with maybe some advice to our Women Worldwide listeners about making transitions and changes in their careers.
Okay, first piece of advice I'm going to say is subscribe to this podcast, because I just started listening to your podcast.
Thank
and you give such amazing advice. And I really believe the content is out there, whether it's a podcast, a vlog, YouTube video, consume as much content as you can, because I mean, your show is a great example where you're speaking with so many different people who face challenges that your listeners are probably facing. And I think that's where you start. I think the next step, and I'm going to put a challenge to your listeners, start creating content.
Oh,
whether you want to speak with other people, whether you want to document your own journey. I talked about launching a podcast in 2014, 15. Today, it's literally as easy as pressing a button to launch a podcast or to do a YouTube live show or a Facebook live show. Start creating content, document yourself, put yourself out there, because the content you create will inevitably become part of your branding. So I think we're all going to become content creators. I think that's really the direction we're moving in, especially as we get into this year. I think it's really a great opportunity for so many of your listeners to take the next step, whether they're trying to advance in their careers or start a business or just figure out where they want to go.
Exactly. John, last question, super easy. And thanks for the advice, by the way. That was excellent. Where can people find out more about you and all of the things that you're doing,
including your podcast? I'm going to answer this a little bit differently. So I want to acknowledge, first of all, that we would not be on this conversation if it weren't for you and for all the effort and all the work that you put into, 200 episodes is no easy thing. And it's a lot of work and effort to create a consistent body of content. So I'm going to say, instead of sharing my, contact and social handles, in order to get to me, if you're interested in learning more about me, go to your website and really, really look at the content that you've created, and all of it will be there, because, I already gave you all my social handles in preparation yes. for this interview. So I'm going to say, really, if you want to connect with me, you should connect with Deirdre first, because it's because of you that we're on this conversation. I'm not here to talk about, moving forward. I mean, we talked about the podcast journey. I really want to acknowledge that we're here because of you and because of the effort and because of the relationship that you and I have. I value that so much. And I want your listeners to really, really understand that as well.
Well, John, I value everything about you, your friendship, your willingness to always help and to offer advice, for coming on the show, for how you're excelling as a podcaster, and now it'll be two shows, and you're an entrepreneur. And I love that you speak to everything when you're giving advice. It's what you're doing and what you believe in. So thank you so much. And listeners, as John said, go to womenworldwideshow.com and you'll see his episode and all of John's contact information. So with that, John, thank you very much for being on the show. Your insights, your advice, your time, we really appreciate it. We appreciate it.
The honor and the pleasure is mine. And again, I want to iterate to your listeners, because I know sometimes as podcasters, we don't always hear from you. So leave a rating and review for Women Worldwide. I mean, it really helps us as podcasters. It takes maybe a couple seconds out of your time, and support this podcast. I mean, subscribe to it. It is amazing. I just subscribed to your show, and I'm so looking forward to binging all the episodes, because you provide so much value and content, and you're present with every conversation. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, you heard it from John, and I just want to thank everybody for tuning in each week and for helping us to grow. And as John said, yes, please rate us on iTunes. Give us a shout out on Twitter. We're there, and Facebook too. So thank you, friends. And until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thanks, John.
Thank you.